rest of the agenda. It's supposed to be 11 o'clock right now, but it really isn't. But anyway, yeah, mountain time, we're about to, you know, work on that.
We're ahead of schedule.
But the rest of the agenda is old business, which is the rule update, budget update, website update, Friends of the Commission update, NIS update, clarification of two topics from the February meeting, an item brought by Dorothy Weston Yaki, status of the taped public meeting educational materials, and then public comment, and that's supposed to happen at 11:30. At 11:45 is supposed to be new business, the impartial hearing officers, survey and evaluation information for staff, date and time of conference call to review executive director's evaluation, focus topic for next meeting, location and time of August 7 and November 20th meetings, and then theoretically to adjourn at 12:15. Well, we've added the executive session, so we know we won't be doing that, you know, totally adjourning at 12:15, but we're still moving along. What time is lunch supposed to be? Is there a specified?
I believe it's at noon.
Okay, and are we going to another location for
no,
that?
They will be bringing it in here.
Okay,
yes,
so
12 o'clock, they'll deliver the food.
Okay.
And can I mention, we did just order meals for those that we knew for sure were going to be here. We didn't have any way to know what members of the public would be here, or other staff or other drivers that we wouldn't necessarily know about. So the meals that we ordered will be delivered. Others of you can either just go have your lunch in the restaurant or wherever, I guess, or if you want to get a lunch from the restaurant here and bring it in, you certainly may do that. So one of the challenges in the fact that we do meet through the lunch hour is that there's no way to really accommodate everyone because we don't know who will all come to a public meeting, and I apologize for that, but I don't know how else unless we just had an actual break, which we have not done. So thanks for bearing with that.
Yes, we do appreciate that. Okay, I think what we'll try to do is, you know, get old business taken care of as so far as we can before the lunch comes.
What time is it?
And then it's about a quarter to 12. So the first item in old business is the rule update.
Good news on the rule update. I talked with Kathleen Fossler in the governor's office yesterday, and we have answered all of their questions. She is satisfied with everything that's been provided and will be passing our first three chapters on to the governor this next week, and she expects that we will have approval probably during this next week.
That is good news.
Yes.
Took a year.
Yeah. Okay, so the budget update?
Basically, operations are about the same. I mentioned earlier the what we're looking at about the server. One kind of nice thing, our telephone costs are down from about $45,000 to about $34,000. So, you know, some of what we'll be spending more on the server when we get that going, and part of that we'll be able to do because we've found cost savings in our other operations. Just in general with case services, expenditures for outside purchases of training like tuition or whatever is up about 8%. Technology costs are up about 10%. But maintenance and transportation expenditures are down about 10%. The overall level of expenditures in our case services is about on par with where we were last year. So, you know, I think we're doing a good job of keeping with that. And as you know, we didn't have any major changes in our budget this year. Thank God.
Yes.
So that's the budget report. I have other information if you have specific questions.
I don't. Does anyone else on the board?
No.
Is there a pitcher of water on the table?
There should be.
Yes.
Okay, the next item is the website update. And we did receive the web report. I'm not sure what some of the things mean, unfortunately. Like, and I suppose I'm going to show how stupid I am, but oh well. Like, there are failed requests and redirected requests.
Jim, can you speak to that at all? Or do you know?
Not very well, but I'll make it up as I go along.
If you don't know, we could get a report of the next meeting.
I redirected requests in the field. My understanding of a failed request, yeah, that's no problem. That's actually people that have visited the site and for whatever reason, be it problems on their end or be it problems on the Nebraska Online end, they're not able to connect. That's what failed request is. Redirected, I honestly have no idea what that is. Kelly explained it to me at the outset, and when she was explaining to me, I was trying to comprehend everything, and I honestly don't know what redirected request means.
And I don't know what an unwanted log file entry is either.
That actually makes two of us. Kelly, when I initially ran, when I provided the stuff to Pearl, Kelly said, don't worry about it. Pearl knows all this stuff. I said, okay, I'll just give her the stats and let her read it.
Actually, I have a suggestion.
Okay.
Most of this is just, you know, pretty technical within the online stuff. And I would send a message to the Nebraska Online people asking for some definitions of these different categories. And I think that would be interesting for all of us. So how about if I do that?
Sounds good to me. I'm glad to know that the number of people on the listserv continues to increase.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's up to 85 now, and that I remember when it was 6 or something.
Yeah,
so.
Actually, that's inadequate. It's 86.
Wow.
Very good.
I added one after I set it up. Yeah.
Okay.
So let's get that on record.
And the new website is really easy to navigate.
Oh,
it's very good. Yeah.
That's yes.
Really
easy. Thank you. I really do want to again recognize Jim Yurok for his work on converting it to one website that is all text accessible and, you know, really is going to work well for everybody. So he's worked hard on that, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate that also.
Yes.
I do have a question about the tag that comes out. You know, when I'm going skimming down emails, it used to be that when there was one through from the listserv, it just said NCBVI. Now it has the name before it, and so if I'm skimming down and just looking for personal things rather than, you know, agency things or, you know, commission things or whatever, I don't get it as quickly. And I'm wondering if there's a way of having it just say NCBVI like it used to. I mean, maybe I'm just a person of habit or something, but that's what it used to say.
Where at?
You know, when an email message comes from the listserv.
Oh, yeah, that does. I usually... When you get the email from me, it's actually going to have my name as the sender because that's the way the system is set up for whatever reason.
Yeah, and I liked it when it was just NCBVI, when it was a message from the listserv without a person's individual name on it, because it just triggers a different
thing
in me.
would it be adequate for the subject line to the first? The first word in the subject line always be mail list or something like that, or
no, NCBVI? Because the first thing that Jaws says to me is the sender. That's the thing, you know, and when it says NCBVI, then I know right off that this is from the listserv and not just a message that Jim may be sending personally or whatever.
Right.
I had asked that question when Dan came up from Nebraska Online to work with me on the new listener that we have. And I asked that question, I says, how can we make it, you know, just, how can we make it so that it says, so that when you see a message come, that it says NCBVI, like it used to. And his response was, with Major Cool we're using now, there's no way to make it happen.
That seems weird.
Yeah.
Well, I understand that, yeah.
I wonder if that's another question we could, you know, ask while we're getting definitions,
that's
if
fine.
We could find out why that is, because it really, I don't know. it seems like that's, you know, what it ought to be. And I didn't know whether that meant that it was being sent from somewhere other than the office and that was why it did that, or or what the deal was.
No, that's the way he explained it, that's the way the system was set up.
Okay.
What I do to differentiate, and not, you know, maybe you picked this up, maybe you didn't, but what I do to differentiate if it's a message coming from me as opposed to the listserv, the very first words in the subject line are NCBVI message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but by then I've already heard, you know, part of what's going on.
All you can do is have your speech program read NCBVI message instead of my name, you know. But no, anyway, now that's a question we can ask, yes.
Madam Chair.
Yes, and now you are Nancy.
Uh-huh. I was just going to ask if we could repeat the website for the members of the public that are here. What our web address is.
Go for it, Jim.
It's ncbvi.state.ne.us. And if you want to, you can do a search on whatever search engine you're using and type in ncbvi or the rest of the information online and it'll take you right there.
Okay. Well, thank you again for your thoroughness and for making it so that it's easy to read.
Yes.
Anybody else have anything on that subject? Thank you also for being here.
Not a problem.
Okay, the next item is Friends of the Commission update.
And I think you're all receiving the minutes now, which
yes.
is helpful.
Yes.
And I did recently speak with Jim Nyman and Mike Floyd, and they, in addition to working on some public information efforts and some fundraising efforts with reaching out to attorneys who work with people in developing their wills and such, they also are working on having a website and they plan to have PayPal set up so that people can donate automatically on the web to Friends of the Commission. So that's in the works.
Oh, good.
And that's basically where they're at.
That's good.
Now, would they need to have, you know, like a sponsored area on there, or is that something that the commission can do, or is that some kind of conflict of interest, or is that?
What do you mean a sponsored area? What do you mean?
Well, like if you have a, I don't know, I'm probably entering it into another territory that's out of really my league or whatever, but if you have a space, you know, a set aside place or whatever on the web, as I understand it, you have to have, doesn't the commission have to, like we're connected with Nebraska Online or that
kind of. Oh, I get it. Each website has to have a host in order to be on.
Yeah, that's the word.
Online, yes. And they are looking into. They don't have one yet. They're trying to figure out how to do that.
But the commission itself can't be its host for the Friends or whatever.
I wouldn't think so. No. First of all, we're not, the commission itself.
But yeah, Nebraska Online is a state thing. In the,
now, yeah.
That's a private thing.
And for, we can have links to other, either private or public entities, and in fact, we do. And Friends of the Commission, once they get a web page, that we will have a link to them, and they will to our website. But a host is a different. It's sort of like the room we're sitting in as opposed to the organization that's meeting here.
Okay. And since the commission's is a state room or whatever, then that private entity couldn't just.
Well, Nebraska Online is actually the host of the NCBVI website. And so I would imagine, I'm fairly certain that state regs would prohibit Nebraska Online from actually hosting any private entity.
Okay.
They're checking into it though. Question. They're working on
okay.
it.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Okay.
NIS.
The next thing is NIS.
NIS is coming along. Wes is still working on the accessibility issues, and for the most part, things are working out well. There are a few things where there's what they call a workaround, something that is visual, and so in order to make it work with speech, they have a workaround, some steps to do. There are a few workarounds that he's not satisfied with because they're, you know, they're way too involved. If there's one thing different to do to get it to work with speech, that's acceptable. Or if it's just a different way to do the same step that would have been done visually. But if it's 20 steps to do something that hitting the F2 key would have done, I mean, you know, so that's not acceptable. And so he's working on a few of those. Also, some of our staff have gone over and worked with the different aspects, or worked on some of the applications of NIS, so that we don't end up with, I mean, Wes is a very talented, very skilled in technology, and it could be that his level of expertise is so high that your average state employee who's using it, you know, wouldn't really be able to work as well as he is. So a couple of folks, definitely Carlos Servan and Amy Burrish, have gone over and worked on that some. And as far as I know, most of it has been, has worked pretty well. Any difficulty or awkwardness has had more to do with the fact that they haven't worked with the application at all before. And I don't know if either, since both of those people are here, if you have any comments, that would be good.
Well, it's not going too well with the revenue, I know that.
Well, NIS overall, I'm only talking about the accessibility part. Yeah, well, NIS itself, they're having some major problems.
Absolutely.
And it hasn't gone live with a lot of parts of it because of just the application itself. Thank you, Bill. I really was just talking about the accessibility part.
Carlos, you just echo what Bill mentioned. We try to work on it, and some things are too tedious to get like 12 steps. So our suggestion was, no, it's not acceptable. And they are taking it serious.
So, well, we appreciate the fact that people are continuing to work on it, and hopefully when it gets to be, or if it gets to be a good thing for people in general, it'll also be accessible without, you know, twice as many or 12 times as many steps to do it.
Right. So that's NIS.
Okay. Next item is the clarification of two topics from the February meeting.
Oh, okay. One we've already discussed, the ethics, and the other one is on a policy for immigration. And Bob, you said we can't ask, but if I refer a person to any state agency, they demand that people bring along a Social Security card and a picture ID, like a driver's license or something, before they can get any kind of services. And that's what I would like to see in our policies, that we have documentation from them that they're a citizen. And I checked, as I said, I got a whole pile of stuff from Homeland Security and the CIS, with Citizen Immigration Services, as there's no longer an INS. And for one to become a citizen, they have to write and speak English enough to get along independently. And so therefore they wouldn't need an interpreter following them around. And so, but also if they are resident or citizen of the United States, we should have been able to build the state of origin. And that was not done. And so if they're not a citizen, they cannot be a resident of Nebraska. And that means the Rehab Act does not apply to them. So, and how we're going to find out is by getting them to produce three forms of confirmation that they are actually a citizen of the United States. And I think it's really unfair to ask Nebraska taxpayers to pay a bill for someone who is not a citizen. They just come up here and want freebies. So that's just my clarification on that. And when I worked for the state of Nebraska, they said if it isn't documented, it didn't happen. And so we need documentation in the files. And with more and more immigrants coming into this country, we need to cover ourselves on this issue. They say, what is it, 2,000 people a day coming over from Mexico. So we need to be prepared for it. So that, anyway, that's my issue, and that's why I want to see something in our policy to address that issue. And we can no longer use the excuse that we follow Health and Human Services policies and procedures. I checked with them, and they say any kind of policy or procedure they had does not apply to the Commission for the Blind. We're an independent agency, and we have to have our own policies and procedures. So using that as an excuse does not work. We don't fall under them anymore. We can't use theirs. So that's a point that I would like to make. And that's what I'm asking for. We have to have some way we're going to carry this out. And I don't know where in the policies of what, how you, the treatment of clients, you can't, where you would put that, Pearl.
Jimmy Rockbard, do you mind if I ask a quick question?
No, that's fine.
Very quickly, I have my own personal opinion, and Dorothy, I agree with you 100% on what you're saying, but let me ask the board this, and just speaking off the cuff, is the board, commissioners, and Pearl, and her employees ready to be sued?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're an illegal immigrant, number one, you shouldn't be beginning. But if you're an immigrant and you have, you know, you want to apply for services, could you not have your butt hauled in the court for discrimination?
Well, every
not if they're complying with the law.
No, we'd probably have our butt holes in the court if we didn't have something to cover ourselves.
Well, I thought, it was my understanding, and I, you know, what was told last time to us, because there are some, if a person shows up at the hospital and needs service, they do not prove citizenship to get, the hospital has to serve them, and that's just a cost to the medical system.
Well, they have to pay for it.
They're supposed to, but if they don't, then
I think hospitals go under completely different rules than what we go under.
Well, it's under, you know, the other thing is education. It's my understanding, and I might be wrong on this, but I don't think I am, that if a child shows up for school, he lives in Nebraska, that he is entitled to a free public education, and he doesn't, and citizenship is not
okay.
Is not asked.
They
or
have
can't be
to
asked.
To come into the state to become a or in this country to become a resident. It's all here in the few guidelines from.
Well, I understand about
okay.
But, you know, being here illegally. I'm just, my question is the Rehab Act similar to these other situations where people that's asked for services can't be denied services?
They do it every day. I mean, if I send somebody down to Health and Human Services in Dakota City for food stamps, they have to prove.
Well, that's different. Food stamps is different.
Yeah, there are specific.
Well, it's still services. I don't care if in our agency we have, when we have immigrants coming in the door or illegal immigrants or whoever, they have to prove that they're a resident or citizen of the United States, because we're funded primarily by the county and state monies.
No.
But that's true for the place for whom you work, but those kinds of things don't apply across the board. You know, what Bob was talking about, you know, there are things that are done differently, and I think that services to blind people is one of those things that, that has been done differently, you know, the whole, the way that it is written. And
maybe it's been done differently, but it doesn't mean it was done legally.
Well, I believe that it has been, though. I think that the laws are such that the state agency for the blind is obligated or obliged to serve whoever comes. You know, I don't think that there is any kind of means test or any kind of
No, there's not a means test, but there is a citizenship test. No one who just comes across the border from Mexico or Canada can come in here and say, I want services.
Well,
but they could go to the hospital, and
yes,
the hospital
and I think they can. I mean, there are things that they can that they can't do, but those are under different jurisdictions from the agency for the blind.
That's right. Hospitals aren't even a comparable analogy, Bob, because hospitals have a code of for health care and emergency health care.
Okay.
They can't deny people, but all I'm asking is that we do more research on this and have something to...
Well, I agree. We should know what we have to do, and what we want to do is a separate question.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, both Fatosh and Carlos have asked for the floor, and so we'll, you know, I will take Fatosh and then Carlos.
I believe that it is a moot point, given this discussion. We function under the federal guidelines, under the Rehab Act. Our 80% money comes from the federal government. And Pearl has the section that clearly defines what our role is. And it doesn't matter what kind of a policy you decide to put it in, it will be illegal.
Well, that's the question. If that's,
yeah,
if that's
what we have to,
yes,
yeah,
and that's what we talked about last meeting, and we heard that you know, the citation from the Rehab Act, and you know, maybe if we want to hear it again, I think that is certainly a reasonable thing.
I think we have to see what Homeland Security and the CIS say. Everybody would be coming over here for every kind of benefit there was.
Well, every program
true.
Doesn't. I mean, some programs do require citizenship.
Yeah,
yeah,
I
yeah,
think
some things do require that, and some things really don't. And you know, I'll take Carlos and then Pearl, and then Pearl, if you could be prepared to read the.
Yes.
Well, I don't care
citation.
About the Rehab Act, because she read it the last time.
Carlos said about it.
Well, we have to care about it. Okay, Carlos?
Well, you have to care about it, but
I'm
don't you, you have to care about...
As a consumer here, I want to talk as an immigrant here, and Dorothy, I'm sorry to hear that you don't care about the Rehab Act, because if you don't care about it, maybe you shouldn't be sitting there. If I'm an immigrant, you mentioned that we come here for freebies. If you take a look who work at these other houses, they are immigrants. Don't even get paid.
You're misunderstanding,
excuse me,
Carlos.
Dorothy,
well,
I will give you a turn, but right now Carlos has the floor.
Use the right wording, because those ones are discriminatory comments, those ones are racist comments, and I'm not going to tolerate that, okay? I pay my taxes here too. I know a lot of immigrants who are not legal citizens, and they pay taxes and they never get reimbursed because they are not legal. And I talked to Bob earlier about this very quickly, and he said this is a big issue, and I don't think we are going to solve it here. So if you want to limit to rehab, concentrate on the Rehab Act. And that's all I want to mention.
Okay. What
okay,
I am
excuse
saying,
me.
Okay. May I make a comment, Barb?
After Pearl reminds all of us of what the Rehab Act says, because it is what governs the agency for the blind. Whatever else governs other entities, you know, the Federal Rehab Act is what governs the Agency for the Blind. So
now,
once she has made her comment and reread that, then you have the floor again.
But
excuse me.
How did we
Pearl?
Deal with the 18 issue
Bob?
In the
it's Title I of the Voc Rehab Services Part A General Provision Section 100 Declaration of Policy Authorization of Appropriations, and it's Section 12 Residency. The state plan shall include an assurance that the state will not impose a residence requirement that excludes from services provided under the plan any individual who is present in the state. And there are no other provisions at all anywhere in the Rehab Act relating to citizenship. The only thing is residency, and it even prohibits us from discriminating against a non-resident.
Okay, what I'm saying, if you're not a citizen of the United States, you're not a can't be a resident of Nebraska.
Yes, you can.
The present in the state is the, you know, physically present in the state.
Yeah, it says.
So then we're going to bring in all the blind people from all over, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan, wherever they want to come from, and we're going to take them to our training center.
If they're.
I think I had the floor.
I'm asking for the floor.
And you'll be next, Patoche.
Okay. Carlos, I was not talking about immigrants. I was talking about people who come here for services. They are not immigrants, and that implies you're coming here to live. They live in Ecuador, Peru, or wherever. They come here just to get trained, and then they go back home. That is what I'm talking about. And I am not talking about a racist comment. That was never my intention. I want us to be reimbursed for all the hard work we do. That is my point. And if we say it didn't cost us anything, we hire an interpreter, we put them up in the apartments, we give them a food allowance, that costs us money. That is my whole issue. And I think, let me finish. Mm-hmm. You can't bring you can bring people in here and say they're a resident of Nebraska, so they can go to work at IBP. IB is always on the news. IBP goes through there and finds illegal people coming in to work, and they have to send them back to their country of origin. That can't happen. And so I'm saying that there has to be something in, I don't know, maybe the Rehab Act needs to be revised or something. Because if it says present in the state, they could come in from China or someplace and just, oh, I'm going to go with that new training program in Nebraska. That's good.
Pearl, in the rules, we had this issue, we had a conflict with Nebraska's one of the, I think it's the only state in the country that legal majority is 19. Mm-hmm. And the vending, there, you know, it was 18. Mm-hmm. How did we, I can't remember how we had to, if I would think federal laws trumps it, but did we have to exclude, did we have to say 18 for vending?
I think, what did we end up with? It's been so long since I've looked at that that part.
I
think we went with the state law because that we were allowed to go with what the state law, I mean, you, in order to be a vendor, you really have to be able to sign contracts. And in Nebraska, you can't sign contracts under a certain age. So that's what we did.
Yes.
And if I may, and I'll take my turn. I don't know if someone else.
Yes, Patoche and then Carlos have.
You can take my turn.
Carlos?
Yeah, I'm glad you clarified that those are not discriminatory comments or racist comments. And I'm glad that you're talking about not immigrants, but those who are coming and maybe going back. Now the issue comes, how do we double check, or how do we know when somebody's going to go back? We don't ask those questions.
Or even if we did, it might change.
Right.
Okay, Pearl, you were,
okay, thank you. Whenever there is the potential that there are laws, I'm sorry, laws or regulations that pertain to the services we provide or that would interact with the Rehab Act, I am very happy to look at those regulations, to review those. If we end up with a question, to send that question to our the people who give us the money, that is the Department of Education in Washington, D.C., the RSA division, the Division of Rehabilitation Services Administration. And that's something we certainly could do. But we can't just, you know, bring a packet and not, I mean, if you want to have me go through that or discuss it with our regional commissioner, the Rehab Act doesn't get revised. It gets voted on by Congress every 5 years or so, and in fact has just recently undergone a revision. It was a new bill was passed by both Congress or by both the House and the Senate, but then it has to be conferenced, which then means a agreement on something that will work out the differences between the House bill and the Senate bill. It has not gone to conference yet, and if that doesn't occur before the election, which almost certainly will not at this point, then the whole process will be started again when the next Congress is elected after January. So the Rehab Act itself, I mean, they put out their publication, the bills, you can comment on bills, you can, when regulations are being promulgated, they seek public comment, so there's opportunity to do, to have input in those parts of the process. There is not opportunity for me as a director or even for you as the governing board to decide that a certain part needs to be done differently here in Nebraska. That we don't have the legal authority to do that.
Well, maybe they need to clarify this issue then for us, so we know what we're supposed to be doing.
To me, it's exceedingly clear. It could not be more clear.
I don't.
Carlos Servan.
Why is it that in, okay, in the, excuse me, Carlos. a few years ago, you had to receive services in the state where you resided. Until just, what, within the last 4 or 5 years, that changed. You can go to any state. So.
I don't know what you're
Like, when I first started as a client with the commission, the OSVI, I had to receive services from Nebraska. I couldn't go over to Iowa or Minnesota, but now you have, people have a choice.
Right.
And
the 1998 amendments to the Rehab Act added additional language that put a huge emphasis on informed choice of the client, that the person, you know, really could look at where will I get the services that best fit my particular goals. So yes, that was a change.
But anyway, with all the other issues going on now with Homeland Security, I think there needs to be even more clarification on what comes first, Homeland Security guidelines or rehab guidelines.
I guess, I'm sorry, Barbara, may I?
Excuse me, my mouth was full.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead, Pearl. Okay. And I haven't forgotten that you wanted to floor
the coach. I don't know that it's what comes first, but rather, I mean, Homeland Security, the Department of Homeland Security has a tremendous, huge responsibility that does cover the entire nation and that deals with security of our nation.
Okay.
And they have, in fact, Tom Ridge, the head of that department, came and spoke to us in Washington last week, and you know, it was a tremendous opportunity. But that does not mean that all of the rules or the laws related to that department impact the Department of Education Rehab Services Administration.
Oh, okay, I need to clarify myself. To get this material, Homeland Security and the CIS are together. They're one and the same. You know, they done away with INS and they got the CIS now. And to get the information, I called, you know, the INS office in Omaha, and they informed me their name had been changed. They're under Homeland Security now. And to get the information, I had to get it off the website, and I don't have the program to get it off my computer. My son had to look it all up and send it to me. But, you know, there's specific guidelines. I see, I still think there's an issue with, we could bring all the people in from the entire world, all the blind people, and train them.
Well, the blind people are, you can make the same point about education. In education, can't, they have to educate every resident. I mean, that's a much bigger issue than...
Every resident.
Every person.
Well, everybody resides, it exists in the state.
In this here, it says, to become a resident of the United States, only two ways, an employer or a family member have to petition the Homeland Security for your residency. You can't just step foot in and say, I'm a resident. Somebody has to petition for it.
That's true.
Let me clarify.
And then it's a, okay, it's a process.
Well,
right, okay, excuse me.
I really want to say, I want to, because this ties perfectly back to what the Rehab Act says, we must assure that we will not impose a residence requirement. There are many programs that do impose residence requirements. Then you get into residency, citizenship, and so forth. But we are prohibited from that. So
residency in the state of Nebraska.
Residency,
you can't
be a
resident of Nebraska if you're not a resident of the United States.
But it doesn't say anything even about being a resident of the United States. It simply says if you're present in the state. And you know, that was the point that I was going to make also, that you know, those entities that you've talked with, while they may know well what their laws are and what their jurisdiction is, they really don't know. I mean, they can guess about what they would think would be the case for services for the blind or for the Rehabilitation Act, but they're probably not even familiar with it. That's the one that we need to be familiar with, and it's the one that we are governed by, and this is what it says. And it really for our purposes is irrelevant what the laws for other entities that govern them are. You know, we are bound by the Rehabilitation Act.
But Madam Chairman, I know we're bound by, but it sounds to me like they were assuming that person would be a resident of the United States.
I don't think so.
Well, here's what I would suggest now, because we're at an impasse, is that Pearl, find out from, you know, so we just know what the rule, you know, what we have to. Find out from the RSA or whoever, ask them, can we, you know, impose any additional requirements? And then at least we'll know.
And then we can decide if we want to have a policy. It says
I'm sure Carlos and Fatosh, I don't know, maybe they don't, but I resent my tax dollars going to pay to rehabilitate someone who just comes in here and wants services from us, from the Commission for the Blind, and then go back home.
Fatosh and then Carlos.
I resent the fact that you're telling me that I'm working for this agency very hard for 9 years, paying my taxes, and this country trained me. You know, I came as an immigrant, and I think it is not a place here for you to say your political views. It is a place for blindness, but nothing else. And I resent the fact that you sitting as a board member there telling your political views.
Well, political views, this is all politics.
It's one way or the other.
It's still politics. You came here, I'm not talking about immigrants. I'm talking about people who come just to get services and then go back home. I'm not talking about immigrants.
Okay,
I have a daughter-in-law who's just an immigrant from Hungary.
Which one are you, Dorothy?
But she came here with the intention she wanted to live here. She found out what everything was to become a resident and a citizen. And also part of the requirements of becoming a resident in the United States, you have to work here. You can't just come here and live. You have to have somebody to support you. If a family member petitions for your residency, and if you can't work, you're disabled, then that family member is expected to support you.
You know, we really, you know, I really agree with Bob that we are at an impasse as far as anything that we can do about, you know, whatever that particular issue is. You know, for my part, I think that we as blind people, you know, we have dealt with the fact that people, for whatever reason, don't want to let us in, don't want to let us do things, don't want to let us work, don't want to give us the opportunity to do whatever. And it seems like it's kind of a double standard and not a very good one if we're going to say, okay, yeah, we think that the people who just happen to be born in a specific location have the right or the opportunity to have a specific kind of service, but people who happen to be born, you know, we didn't decide we were going to be born where we were born, and neither did anybody else. And if somebody sees an opportunity...
Well, that's as much a statement, you know, as Dorothy's. I mean, I think we just need to know what's the law.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
You know. Well, it's clear to me, too, but, you know, if Dorothy wants a clarification, then, I mean, there ought to be some way we can get a clarification. It's either interpretable or it's the rule, and if it's the rule, then we ought to be able to get clarification.
I think what Dorothy's concerned about the illegal immigrants that comes in, but
since we are not, since the Commission for the Blind doesn't ask those kinds of questions,